with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Here ends the reading of God's word upon us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, its truth and its life, and this hymn of praise, Lord, that calls us to enter into Your heart, Your presence with thanksgiving. And words of praise should be on our lips. And Lord, indeed, we have much to thank You for. So may we, Your people, Lord, demonstrate that attitude of gratitude in our heart. For we, more than any, have true reasons to rejoice and to be thankful this day. So, Father, minister to our hearts through Your word this morning. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Savior, we ask this prayer. Amen. I asked you earlier about some things that you were thankful for. I asked the kids about some things they were thankful for. But someone came up with a list of some things to give thanks to God for. Maybe some things you may not have thought about. And this says we need to give thanks to God for automatic dishwashers. Why? Because they make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes in for their after-dinner snacks. Or give thanks to husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house. That's not me. Because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. That's me. Or give thanks for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. Ever had that? Because they're such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their real parents. Grandparents, relate to that? Give thanks to the Lord for gardening, because it's a relief to deal with dirt outside of the house for a change. Give thanks for teenagers, Katie, because it gives parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And give thanks for smoke detectors. Why? Because it lets you know when the turkey's done. A lot of things we can give thanks to, and Thanksgiving is one of my favorite Sundays, one of my favorite holidays of all the ones we celebrate throughout the year. A lot of traditions tie in with Thanksgiving. At our house at home, before we would have our Thanksgiving meal, we would go around the table and each one of us would share something we were thankful for. I still remember those times, and they're still precious to me. But getting together with family and friends and having that meal and having the turkey and all the trimmings and everything goes with it, part of the holiday and celebration, the parades, all that goes along with the day. But what I think I love more about Thanksgiving more than anything else is the fact that it really can't be commercialized. Christmas has become so commercialized, Easter has become so commercialized, but there's nothing about Thanksgiving. It's a time to pause and give thanks to God. Perhaps why, and I really hate to say this, that's why Thanksgiving gets so skipped over and we decorate for Christmas early. Hate to say it this year. But, it gets pushed away and the Christmas stuff comes out and we forget about that time to pause and give thanks to God. But giving thanks to Him is important. And it's what we're called to do as believers. And giving praise and thanksgiving to God and singing to Him should generate out of our heart. In fact, it is so important to God that He wrote a whole book on praise and giving thanks and worship. And that's the book of Psalms. In Psalm 100, a psalm that is familiar to many of us, we learn how we can develop and find the true heart of thanksgiving. Because a heart of thanksgiving is found and a heart of praise that is lifted up to God, and a heart of gratitude that reflects His goodness in our life. And I ask you this morning, is God good to you? Has He been good to you? He's good no matter what we face. And no matter what we go through, His goodness and His hand is seen. And the heart of thanksgiving generated comes from our life. When we give thanks to God out of a heart of praise to Him. So we will see and we will have a thankful heart. And a heart that is filled, when it's filled with three things. Let's go to the psalm this morning and discover the heart of thanksgiving that we find in this psalm. A thankful heart first comes and is developed from a heart of joy. A heart of joy. Notice what he says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. He said when we have a heart of joy, that's where the heart of Christmas is developed. The heart of thanksgiving is developed because that praise comes naturally from our heart. And does he say, here in the scripture, whisper for joy, all the earth. Does he say that? No, what's he say? He says, shout for joy, meaning broadcast it. I mean, let him know your thankfulness and your joy out of your heart. It should permeate out of us. Joy, it is to be exuberant. It's to be exuberant. That word shout joyfully is the word refers to a spontaneous shout of victory that greeted a king when he returned home from a battle. Shouting for joy, it means to shout like with the force of a trumpet blast, Deb. To blow that, let people know, God has done this for me. A shout of joy that comes from the very depths of your being. Out of gratitude, the heart. The heart of thanksgiving is expressed in a heart of joy that is meant to be exuberant. I wasn't alive at the time, but those of you that were alive during the time of World War II, I've only seen pictures. I've only seen newsreels about it. But when World War II was over, and the troops came home, and the victory was declared, and the troops came home. I've only seen pictures of it. The troops marching through the streets of New York. And they had a ticker tape parade. And people were shouting and rejoicing. Some of you remember that? Or seen pictures of it? And the ticker tape. And it was a joyful time. It was. That's what the same kind of feeling that we're supposed to have in our heart of joy to God. That same kind of exuberance of who He is. Of what He's done for us. And that joy should be seen and expressed in our life. That so much that we can't contain it. We got to tell others what God has done for us. And His blessing and His goodness in our life. There was a veteran missionary who had served for many years as a medical missionary in India. He served in a region where there was a problem with progressive blindness. Where people's eyesight progressively got worse. People were born with healthy eyes and vision, but then there was something in the area, some kind of infection or whatever, that caused people to eventually lose their sight as they got older. But this missionary had developed a treatment which would stop progressive blindness. He was able to come up with something that would cure it. And so the people came to him, and he performed his treatment, and they would leave realizing that they had become completely healed. But because of him, their sight, because of his, their sight had been restored and saved. But he said that they had never stopped after he had healed them to say thank you. Because that phrase was not in their dialect. And he couldn't understand, well, why didn't they ever say thank you? He discovered that wasn't in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. And wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had healed their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly wanted to proclaim it. That's what that word, shout with joy for the Lord, means to us. That we have received healing from the blindness of our sin, haven't we? We receive so much from the goodness of our God. And we need to proclaim that name, the glory of His name, and giving thanks to Him for what He's done for us. The heart of thanksgiving comes from that heart of joy that is exuberant in praise for our God, who has given us so much and has done so much for us. It's to be exuberant, but joy is not optional. It's not something we can just say, oh, I don't feel like rejoicing today. Or Thanksgiving is a good day to give thanks and be joyful, but the rest of the year, I don't have to do it. But Paul said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Right? No, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll tell you again to rejoice. And here, Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, some of the earth. Now he says, all the earth, meaning that's all of us. Anything that has breath within us is to express that joy and gratitude to God. It's not optional. It's something He wants. He inhabits the praise of His people. He is lifted and exalted when we praise Him, as well as we are lifted up as well. It's not optional for us. And if we can't, I ask you, if we can't be joyful in church, where can we be joyful? If we can't be joyful over all that God's done for us and His goodness and His grace and redemption through His Son, what can we rejoice about? I read a story this week that in church one Sunday, there was a note. It was noted there was a small child who was turning around. He was sitting in front of the church. He was turning around. He was just smiling from ear to ear at everybody. And did you ever see anybody where you see a kid where they have that smile? It's contagious and it just fills you with joy. Well, he was sitting there smiling to everybody. He wasn't gurgling. He wasn't spitting or humming or tearing up the hymn books or making any commotion. He wasn't rummaging through his mother's purse. He was just sitting there smiling from ear to ear, reflecting the joy of the Lord. But you know what? Suddenly, his mother jerked him around, and in a stage whisper that everybody could hear, she said, "Stop grinning! You're in church!" And then with a slap on his wrist, on his hand side, she slapped him and said, "You can't do that! You're in church!" And tears rolled down his cheeks. And she said, "Now that's better." And she returned to her prayers. Joy should come from our heart and become naturally expressed to us. It's not optional for us as believers especially. Shout for joy to the Lord. Let Him know. Let His goodness know what He has done for us. And joy is demonstrated by service. In verse 2, he says, worship the Lord with gladness. Or in the King James, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. That we demonstrate our joy by our service and our worship of the Lord. And really, our worship today is to give ourselves back to the Lord, which is our reasonable service. As Paul said, that our reasonable service is to put ourselves on the altar of sacrifice every day and not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed and to be changed from within. And that is our reasonable service, the way we serve God. And it's demonstrated by joy, our joy in our heart, that we gratitude because of what He's done for us. We so willingly offer ourselves back to Him, not grudgingly, but willingly. And we don't hold on to things like this, but we hold on to it like this. And out of joy, we surrender it to Him. Expressed in our service and our goodness to Him and His goodness to us. And joy is expressed in singing. So much of our worship is part of singing. And that's why in every worship service in the church we sing, because it expresses our joy. Notice he says, come before Him with joyful songs. That's the way we express our joy, through our singing and through our praise. And when we sing, it should demonstrate a heart of gratitude to God. That's why we sing out and lift up our praise to Him. And it doesn't matter whether we're good singers or not. It's a joyful noise to the Lord that makes it matter. You know, and let it go to Him. A young girl became a Christian and an exciting revival at her church. And she was baptized on the closing Sunday morning. That afternoon, she ran through the house singing and dancing. And the joy of the Lord had transformed her. And you remember how it was in your life when you first became a believer? Remember that joy in your heart you had? And this young girl was full of it. And she was singing out of the heart of joy to the Lord. And she was singing and dancing. And her sour grandfather, who had been a believer for many, many years, rebuked her with these words and said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You just joined the church, and now you're singing and you're dancing on the Lord's day." Crushed by her grandfather's attitude, the little girl went out to the barn. She climbed up on the corral fence, and she observed an old mule. And the old mule was standing there with a sad, droopy face and bleary eyes, and he looked up at her. And as she reached over and patted the mule sympathetically, she said to the mule, she said, "Don't cry, old mule. I guess you've got the same kind of religion that my grandpa has." But joy should be expressed in our singing out of a heart of praise to God. The heart of thanksgiving is found in a heart of joy. So how joyful are you? And to rejoice in His goodness and rejoice in the Lord always. But secondly, the psalm says that we find the heart of thanksgiving and it's filled with a heart of submission. A heart of submission. Look at verse 3. Where he says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We're not going to truly know how to be thankful and to have a heart of gratitude until it's filled with joy and until we have a heart of submission that knows or acknowledges, that word acknowledge, that God is God. A heart of submission where we submit to Him because He is God. He is the Lord. And if He's God, that means we're not. That means He calls the shots. That means He's in control. That means He knows what's best. What makes evolution so attractive to people is because they believe that if there's no creator and people just evolve, then there's no God. And if there's no God, then I don't have to submit to Him. And I can be God and I can do what I want. What was the temptation that Satan brought to Eve in the garden at the very beginning? He said, "If you eat of this tree, you will be like God. You'll be able to call the shots. You'll be in control. You'll know what's best. You can control your own destiny." But the psalm says, a heart of thanksgiving realizes a heart of submission to know that He is God. He is the Lord. And we submit to Him. He's the one in charge. Knowing that He is God, and we submit to Him, we also submit to Him because He is our Creator. He says again in verse 3, "Know that He is God, the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His." He is our Creator. He made us. We did not make Him. And because He made us as our Creator, we yield to Him. And know that our source is in Him. That He breathed into us the breath of life. That He holds our life in His hands. And whenever His day for us is and He calls us, He gives life and He takes life, but it's all in His hands as our Creator. And so we place our entire life in Him. And until we get to that point of submission, we truly can't be thankful and celebrate Thanksgiving as God intends it to be. Until that submission permeates us, knowing that He is God, that He is our Creator. We also submit to Him because He is our Redeemer. The third part of verse 3 says that we are His. We are His people. Meaning that we belong to Him. We were bought with a price. We were paid for with a very high price. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, Scripture says, "Don't you know and remember that you were bought with the price? You were redeemed with the very precious price of the blood of Jesus. And He paid a high price for you and for me. And we belong to Him. And because of that, we submit to Him. We're not our own, but we belong to Christ." A heart of submission generates a remembering and knowing on this Thanksgiving and always of whose we are and who we belong to. But we also submit to Him because He is our shepherd. The last part of verse 3 says, we are His people, been redeemed by Him, but also the sheep of His pasture. Another reason we submit to Him is because He is our shepherd and we are His sheep, members of His flock. And I ask you, what kind of shepherd is our God? He's a good shepherd, isn't He? Psalm 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. And because He's our shepherd, it says we will not be in want or need. We will have all that we need. He will provide it for us. His rod and His staff will give us comfort. He will lead us by the streams of living water. He will lead us through the green pastures. He will protect us from harm because our shepherd is good. And as a sheep, we just simply follow our shepherd. John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I show I'm good because I lay my life down for the sheep. I care for my sheep. I lay myself down for them." And He said, "My sheep hear my voice and know and will follow me." And staying close to the shepherd is our sheep, that we can hear His voice, know it's our shepherd, and follow Him willingly, knowing that He will protect us. He lays Himself down for us and gives what we need. We submit because He is our shepherd. So the heart of thanksgiving is found when we have a heart of joy and praise to Him, and a heart of submission that yields to Him. But also, the psalm tells us that thanksgiving is discovered and we become truly grateful when we have a heart of praise. A heart of praise, verses 4 and 5, where he says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." The story is told of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown into the heart of human people. And he found that most of the seeds were of discouragement. They were more numerous than all the others. That seed of discouragement Satan could sow into the heart of people, and that was the most numerous one because it was the most effective. And he learned that these seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. But when Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted that there was one place in which he could not ever get the seed of discouragement to thrive. And someone asked him, "And where was that?" And Satan said, "In the heart of a thankful person." And when we express that thanks, it keeps us from being overcome by discouragement. As we lift up that praise to the Lord, in that we have a proper perspective. In verse 4, he says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." Talking about here, the psalmist had a picture of entering His gates and His courts was a picture of going into When you went into the Lord's house or the tabernacle to worship, there was the gate, the big gate you had to go through. And then there was the outer courts. And for most of them, they could only go into the outer court. They could not go into the temple itself. But he said, as you come into the Lord's house, as you're preparing to worship, come with praise and let praise come off our heart, that our heart coming in proper perspective is being prepared. That as we come to worship on a Sunday morning, we know we're entering into the presence of our Lord. And we come to lift up praise to him because he's worthy. And he is honoring of it. Having that proper perspective and the proper focus. For he says, know that the Lord is good. Don't forget that. But that's the purpose, and that's how we can live praise to him, that he is good. Not just some of the time, but all the time God is good, right? No matter, even when it doesn't look like things are good around us at the time, we can know that God is good. And he will work everything out for his good purpose and will. Before his conversion, John Wesley was deeply impressed by a conversation that he had with a porter at the door of his college. And Wesley discovered that this man had only one coat, and he had not eaten the day before, and he was very, very poor. Yet this man was overflowing with gratitude and praise to God, which Wesley didn't have, or could he understand. And so John Wesley said, you thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. He said, what else can you be thankful for? How can you give thanks to God for that? And the porter said, I thank him because he has given me my life and my being and a heart to love him and a desire to serve him. So he had the right focus. We can look at the situations around us sometimes and say, I don't feel very thankful. But when we have the right focus, knowing that God is good, it leads us to praise. That he is good, and that his love endures forever, he said in the last part of verse 5. His love endures forever, meaning continues. His love doesn't fail us. It endures no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter how many times we may let him down, no matter how many times we fail, his love endures. No matter how many times we sin, nothing will separate us from his love. Aren't you thankful? That's a reason to praise him, right? That his love endures forever. There's nothing we can do to make him stop loving us. That's a reason to praise him. And his faithfulness continues to all generations, meaning he is faithful to the end. He will never fail. So we have a God that remains ever faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful and just that when we commit sin, when we ask him, he will forgive us and restore us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to us in the midst of whatever we go through. A heart of praise and give when we have the right perspective. Yes, we may have gone through some tragic situations in the past year. We have made some heartaches. We may have had some hard times. And we don't feel like being thankful. But we put it in the proper perspective, knowing that he is good, his love endures forever, and he is faithful to the end. That praise comes out of our heart. We truly can't be grateful until we have a heart that is full of joy, that learns to rejoice in everything, that a heart of surrender to him, and a heart that is bursting forth with praise to the goodness and gratitude of God and his goodness. And in that, we truly can celebrate Thanksgiving. Exuberant joy, glad submission, and grateful praise. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm that calls us to praise you. And Lord, indeed, we have so much to be thankful for as your people. You have redeemed us with your grace. You have saved us. You have given us life. All that we have has come freely from you. And Lord, as we celebrate this Thanksgiving, may we remember that we do, and you call us to rejoice and to shout that joy, not to be quiet about it, but to burst, that it burst forth naturally from our heart in exuberance out of all that you've done for us. Out of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, but out of all that you have done for us, that joy burst forth, that we want to tell the glory of your name and the glory of how you rescued us from the blindness of our sin and has given us sight. That as the man who you touched and healed his blindness, he said, I was blind, but now I see. And told the praises of your name. And Lord, may we be the same. And shouting for joy and wherever we are, letting people know that we rejoice in you is because of you. And Lord, that surrendered heart to you, living each day, realizing that you are God. We are your people. We belong to you. And you are our shepherd. And you are our good shepherd. And you will care for us. You will lead us. You will protect us and guide us. And we need to submit to you and follow. Then that heart of glad, grateful praise, praising you for all that you've done for us because you are good, putting it in the proper perspective, and that your love remains forever, and that you are true and faithful to your promises. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done, and may we truly experience a thanksgiving heart, a heart of gratitude, not only this day, but every day of the year as we live out for you, your word, and this call to praise, which should become a natural part of who we are. So thank you, Lord, for filling our hearts with joy, for giving us a reason to sing and to rejoice and to give thanks to your name. And we ask this prayer through Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.